Now, we're thinking today about success and how to deal with it, how to handle it well, how to cope with success. Now, as I say that, how you cope with success, you might think that's a little bit strange. Well, I don't need to cope with it. We long for it. Isn't it adversity that I need help coping with? It's interesting. A guy called Thomas Carlyle, Scottish philosopher, once said this about success and failure. For every 100 people that could handle adversity, he could only find one who could handle prosperity. That often it is harder to cope with success than it is failure. Now, I wonder if you know something of what he's talking about, either in your life or in the life of others. Because stories are all too common of people who get promoted, and then they come into work, and their head's up, and their chest is out, and they think they're the bee's knees, and they're looking down on their colleagues, or maybe you, because they've been promoted over you, and success can go to people's heads. Success can do funny things to us, where we forget the very people that have helped us along the way, where we can abandon sort of the values and things we stand for that helped us. And in the worst case, our ego just gets so big and we believe our own PR, you know, our heads can barely fit in the room. We're just a nightmare to work with. Now, no one wants to be like that or work with people like that. So here's the question. How do you cope with success? And as we look at Genesis 41 here, we're going to see two things. And the first is this, to remember where success comes from. Remember where success comes from. It's very interesting. In our post-enlightenment age now, secular age, we're told that we are to be masters of our fates and captain of our souls. And Nike tells us to just do it. And Adidas says impossible is nothing. And Forbes magazine released the top 400 self-made billionaires, because that's where success comes from. Us. And we do it. And it's my intelligence and my ingenuity and my business savvy. Now, if that's where you think success comes from, then ultimately it's down to you, all you. It will go to your head, and you will be proud, and you will be obnoxious. But Joseph here takes a different view. It's very interesting as we start off here in verses 41 to 45, just what happens to him. You see in verse 41, he gets put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh gives him a signet ring, a sign of power and authority. Robes, dresses him in robes of fine linen for the royal officials, a gold chain round his neck, makes him ride in a chariot as the second in command. Finally, incredible success he has. And yet, look at how Joseph subscribes it to. We see this in verses 51 and 52 with the naming of his two children. Now, by the way, these naming of the children in the Bible, we might think this is a little bit odd back then, these names they gave to their kids. I've just become a father for the third time. We named her Holly, and not because she's green and sort of prickly to the touch. We just call her Holly because it's a nice name and we like the sound of it. But back then, the names that people give to their children had real significance. Just look down at verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." And then again in verse 52, the second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." In other words, Joseph is in no doubt as to where his success has come from. It is because of God that I am where I am. It is because of God that I'm enjoying the success that I now have. He has made me fruitful. He has made me forget all my troubles. Joseph is absolutely clear. He is not self-made. For him, that is ridiculous. In a world that God made, in a life that God has given him, any intelligence, business savvy, acumen, it has all come from him. Every gift we have from the Lord, the creator of the universe, any success comes ultimately from God. And that is why he doesn't let it go to his head. Because Joseph knows where success truly comes from. If you think it's all down to you, you will be focusing on yourself and well done me and aren't I great. But if you realize that it all comes from God, then the focus will be on him, thanking him, and that's what will keep our feet on the ground, keep us humble. It's interesting, C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And Joseph is thinking of himself less purely because he's thinking of God lots. God who made him, the God who's gifted him, the God who has done this, who has made him fruitful. It's him, Joseph is saying. It's not me. And so let me ask you, I mean, how do you find it when people compliment you? Do you find it a little bit awkward when people compliment you because you're quite happy that God should be getting some of the glory there or all of the glory? Or when people compliment you, do you sort of secretly inside think, I know, tell me about it? Now, of course, you wouldn't say it sort of out there, but inside, you know, just that little attitude. Do you seek praise? Do you long for praise? If you get it, do you think, finally, I'm getting the recognition I deserve? Because if that is you, you will not cope with success. You will not handle it well. Oswald Sanders from China Inland Mission once said, not every person can carry a full cup. Sudden elevation frequently leads to pride and to a fall. The most exacting test of all to survive is prosperity. In other words, not everyone is ready for success. Not everyone can handle success. And it could be, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ here, God is holding you back from success precisely because you are not ready to handle it, precisely because it would go to your head, and it would lead to pride, and it would lead to a fall, and there would be a bad witness at work, or a compromising of your faith, or a forgetting of God himself. Maybe a good thing if God is holding that back from you. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that whenever someone compliments us, we have to go, praise the Lord! You know, it can be a little bit glib whenever someone's saying that all the time. It's perfectly all right to say thank you if someone gives you a compliment. But when they do that, is there a general sort of attitude within, in your heart, that actually, no, thank you, God, for this compliment? That actually this has come from you. And you owe me nothing, but you've given me this. I don't deserve it. An attitude of heart that will lead in the right time, in the right way, maybe to tell people that it has come from him. And it's not you. So that's the first thing. Remember where success comes from. The second thing to remember, if we're going to handle it well, is to remember what success is for. And we see here in these verses that it's not to be for our own personal agenda, but for God's bigger agenda for the world. Now we see this in two ways, in the way Joseph forgets about his past and the way he's focused on the future. So let's just think about that, the way he forgets about the past. I mean, just think about Joseph's life, if you've been following the series with us. All the hardships that Joseph has been through, would you not expect him to be a little bit bitter? The way the brothers tried to kill him, left him in a pit, sold him into slavery. The way he ends up in Potiphar's house, and his wife tries it on with him, and Joseph says no, and then she accuses him of rape, and he gets put in prison. The way that Joseph is in prison, he helps the cupbearer out. But as soon as the cupbearer gets out, he forgets about him and is in prison for another couple of years. Would you not be bitter about that? And now here is Joseph, and he's put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. He's the number two. He can pretty much do what he's like. Do you not think you'd be a little bit tempted just to go over to Potiphar's house and set the record straight? You know, or to hunt down the cupbearer and say, what was that all about? Why did you forget about me? But he doesn't. It's in the past, he's forgotten about it, he's moved on. There's no bitterness. Why? Because he has this bigger picture of God's purposes for him and for Egypt and for the world. It's very interesting just when we get to the end of the book of Genesis and the story of Joseph, a very important verse in chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph summarizes his life like this to the brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Isn't that an incredible thing for Joseph to be able to say that he sees this bigger picture of God's plan, that God is using him and everything that's happened in the highs and lows are ultimately for the saving of many lives. This famine that's coming, many lives at stake, but God raising Pharaoh up to save these many lives. That's the bigger picture. And he's focused on that, not himself and personal vendettas or the past. He's forgotten about it. He's moving on. And that's this focus on this bigger picture of God's agenda that keeps Joseph so energetic and so active for the Lord. Again, I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but I mean, if I'd been promoted to the number two in the land and was in charge of the whole of Egypt, I'd be a little bit tempted to put my feet up or maybe take my foot off the gas a little bit, get some of the juniors to do some of the grunt work. But in verse 46, We read about Joseph traveling throughout Egypt to find out what needs to be done in terms of this famine. We see him collecting all the food in verse 48. I presume he got help with that, but stores it in verse 48, keeps records about it, does his work to the best of his ability such that he doesn't need to keep records anymore because they've stored so much. He's an incredible model for us, how active he is for the Lord and how hardworking he is, doing his work to the best of his ability despite all the success he's been given. And again, why? Because he's got the big picture in mind. He's not thinking of himself, he's thinking of God. He's thinking of the 7 years of abundance. He's thinking of the 7 years of famine. He's thinking of the saving of many lives. Remember what success is for. Do you see the bigger picture of God's purpose for your life? Because that's how we're going to handle success. Now, you might say, no, I don't really see the big purpose of God right now. It could be in a job and you don't really like it. It could be a particular colleague right now is winding you up and you can't see the bigger picture. What is God doing? What's going on? Well, look, what God is doing for Joseph here in Genesis, the book of Genesis, in this story, it is a little picture of what God did for the whole world when he sent Jesus to earth. It's a little picture. Joseph, a savior of many lives. Jesus, the savior of the whole world. And it's the heart of the Christian message. Joseph here, a savior from famine. Jesus, a savior from judgment. Joseph, a savior from physical hunger, from food. Jesus, saves us from the spiritual hunger of being separated from God. Saves us from turning our backs on God. Saves us from living for ourselves, putting ourselves first, the pride that is there in each of our hearts, because all by nature do let success go to our heads. But the wonderful thing is Jesus has come to earth to rescue us from it, to die for us. Joseph put in a pit, put in a prison. Jesus was put on a cross. The Son of God comes to earth and dies for a world that has turned its back on him, dies for you and me. So we could be forgiven. So we could have a relationship restored with God. So we could live the lives that he wants us to live. At home, in the office, in this world. So that is the big picture of God's agenda. The saving of countless lives across this world through people coming to hear Jesus and believe in Jesus and know him and live for him. Now, if you get that, you can forget about the past. You can forget about all your past mistakes because God has forgotten about your past mistakes. That's why Jesus died. You can forget about the past because you can forgive others because, oh my goodness, God has forgiven you everything in Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about the past anymore because God is at work in your life, using all the ups and downs, the difficulties to place you in just the right position and just the right moment for his bigger agenda of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving of many lives. Do you see that bigger picture over your life? And it is knowing that will keep us energetic, just like Joseph, and working to the best of our abilities, because God really has placed you in your offices and with your staff or in your team. As I say, it might not feel like that right now, if you're having a tough time in the office, if you're being pressured by the boss. But think about Joseph, think of what he went through. It was all part of God's plan, and your life is all part of his plan. Now, I hope that's an encouragement to you, because it means whatever your position in work, or whatever your work is, you have a wonderful opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to live lives of love, of grace, flowing from God's love to you, that is attractive, that is different. And people think, wow, what is that? And maybe they ask you. And you tell them, you know, it's not me, it's the Lord's work in me. I know a senior, she was a senior lady working in the NHS. And her colleagues used to come up to her and say, you know, why are you so calm? How do you keep so calm and you keep so relaxed with all the stress of sort of heading up a whole division? And she said, look, I can't do it. And, you know, I pray like mad and I do it every morning. Now it's just a little way of clearly the Lord's work in her, being a witness to others. An opportunity came. She put it in a very self-effacing, but Jesus-centered way. A witness in word and deed for the saving of many lives. And so can I say, if there is any bitterness in your heart right now, take it to the Lord. Ask him to remove it. Deal with it today. You can't serve God in the present if you're always looking in the past. Remember God's agenda, the bigger picture. So easy to sacrifice our faith, you know, for the career. So easy to let God slide down the priorities as we are promoted through the ranks, you know, and end up forgetting what life's about, where our lives, where history is heading. So that's it. That's Genesis 41. That is how to deal with success, how to handle it, how to cope with it. Remember where it comes from, not us, God. And remember what it's for, not our agenda, but God's agenda. And you do that, you get that, you remember that. Who knows how the Lord will use you today, this week, next year. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this message here tucked away at the start of the Bible in Genesis 41 and this life of Joseph and the way you used him and gave him success for this bigger picture of the saving of many lives. And thank you for the picture this is of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of all that he has done for us, wherever we're coming from today. I pray, Father, you'd help us to see that and therefore give us a right perspective on our work, on our lives, and the success that you may give us. Help us to see it, that it comes from you. Help us to see it in the light of the need to live for the Lord Jesus, for others to hear about him, and for the saving of many lives for eternity. We pray it for his name's sake. Amen.